great. Please sit down. And a very happy new year to one and all. And I guess if you don't realize by now, today is Motto Sunday. And rather like the moment a single is first released in the music charts, you just know that you're bound to hear the tune over and over and over again until by the end of this year you'll be heartily thrilled by it. The Connected Church. Let's have a look at the image that you've got also obviously on your card. Please put this card up somewhere where you can see it every day. In the bathroom, if you use the bathroom every day, I hope you do. The kitchen, somewhere where you will see it, and when you see it, you will pray to God that you'll become part of the Connected Church here at Highfield. So let's really make use of these cards. Phil Borman has done a great job, I think, in illustrating that theme tune for us in the graphic. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Phil's managed to capture the essence. You see it there? People joined together, hand in hand, connected through the cross of Christ. Last year, do you remember the theme tune? It was missions. Let's press the memory recall button or the PowerPoint slide. God says through Malachi, "My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun." And the theme tune of 2006 was missions. We focused on the task of the church to be an outward-looking community, concerned to get the gospel moving out so that the truth of God's glorious name would be seen and heard. Now, although it's a new year, that job is not done. The Great Commission continues. But alongside it runs the Great Connection, a community united in heart and mind. In fact, the Great Commission needs the Great Connection if it's going to be effectively sustained, week on week, month on month, year on year. So we're going to make a priority this year of becoming the kind of church which is connected at every level. Now, I know that's a big ask, and we need to be clear about what we mean by it. It seems to me to be unrealistic to expect, when we're up to speed in term time, 800 people who make up three distinct Sunday congregations in a church which has 80 different ministries and 25 small groups with 13 staff, 14 elders, 12 deacons and a partridge in a pear tree, to know everything that's going on and to know everyone who attends. That seems to me to be an unrealistic, unhelpful expectation. I don't think that you need to know everyone or be involved in everything to be nonetheless part of a connected church like ours. But I do think that we each need to have some meaningful friendships. We each need to be part of a small group program, and we each need to be involved practically in one area of church life. If those things don't apply to you at the end of 2007, then I reckon you won't feel connected to Highfields. My dream is that by the end of 2007, 800 people or so will feel sufficiently part of what's happening that they'll be able to say, "Highfields is my church, and I'm committed to it." And when we say that, remember, we're talking about relating to a group of people, not to a building. As great as our facilities are, this is not Highfields. You are Highfields. We are Highfields, the church. Which is why it's possible to go to a home group that meets, say, in Penarth or Miskin on a Wednesday, which is why it's possible to attend a missionary prayer meeting in Kincoyd or come along to the 20s ministry on a Thursday, or to join the team that work in the city centre with the homeless once a month and say, as you get connected, "This is Highfields." For church is not a location to which I go so much as a family to which I belong. And wherever members of that family get together, then that's church. Now, for the connection to deepen, for Highfields to live out the motto for 2007, I reckon we're each going to have to make some spiritual New Year resolutions. We'll get to those at the end of the message. What I want to do now is show how this emotional connection, which we are to have with each other, is based upon a theological conviction. So, as always, we need to unpack the Bible to discover what God has to say about the connected church. Our motto, as you know, comes from Romans 12 and verse 5. So let's open the Bible at Romans chapter 12. The chapter begins with the word, therefore. What's it there for? Well, it acts like a door hinge on which the truth of this great letter swings open. It connects, verse chapter 12 and verse 1, it connects the statements of Christian belief, which for 11 chapters the Apostle Paul has been elaborating, to the demands of Christian behavior, which chapters 12 to 16 will explore. Here's the logic. We believe certain things, therefore we will behave in certain ways. Got it? Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, and here come the practical implications of that. Firstly, my relationship to God will be different. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. Secondly, my relationship to other Christians will be different. 3 to 13 of chapter 12. Thirdly, my relationship to my neighbors will be different. 14 to 21 of chapter 12. And then fourthly, my relationship to the state will be different. 13, 1 to 7. And the remaining paragraphs of the letter keep returning to those three key areas. In the church, I am to be a good member, using my gifts to bless others. In society, I am to be a good neighbor, overcoming evil with good. And in the state, I am to be a good citizen, obeying the authorities. Which reminds me, maybe some of you, that the final deadline for your tax return is the end of this month. This way of living is the result, says Paul, of the mercy of God in the gospel of Christ. God has loved me in Christ, who died for me. He's forgiven me through Christ, who was raised for me. He's empowered me by Christ, who fills me with his Spirit. And he has connected me through Christ with others in his family. And that's a very quick summary of the 11 chapters of Romans, the first 11 chapters. So faith in Christ acts like a hub, which connects a computer to lots of other peripheral devices. It connects me to God in worship, to Christians in service, and to the world in evangelism. That's always, by the way, the balance of a healthy church and Christian. We are connected up to God, towards each other, and out to society. Now, if you overemphasize one of those to the exclusion of the other two, you'll fall over. For example, if worship of the living God does not flow out to others in sacrificial love and passionate evangelism, then it's nothing more than self-indulgent sentimentality. Now, our motto text concentrates on the second of those key areas. My relationship to fellow believers. In the church, says the apostle, I am to be a good member, using my gifts to bless others. Let's have a look then at verse 5 in a little more detail. In Christ, we who are many form one body. In Christ. It's just a tiny little preposition, but it packs a mighty punch. In Christ. And what I'm saying this morning is relevant only if we are personally and vitally connected to Christ by faith. Those spiritual New Year resolutions that we'll come to have personal significance only if we are located in Jesus, recognizing him as the forgiver of our sins and the savior of our lives. Therefore, I think it would be remiss of me on this, the first Sunday of a new year, not to ask each of us, are we in Christ? Is our trust and confidence in Him? Or is it still really in ourselves, our possessions, our careers, or whatever? Do we think that turning up at church once a week is what it's all about? I'm in church, therefore I'm in Christ. Now try that sort of logic with cars, on the rather preposterous basis that you might want to become a car. Go and stand in the garage later this afternoon and start making car noises, not too loudly in case the neighbours hear you. Do the same thing the following Sundays. Go and stand in the garage and start going vroom vroom and beep beep, and pretend to signal if you like. Take the car manual with you. Memorize the manufacturer's handbook. Keep on doing that every week. Now, do you think that you'll turn into a car just because you spend time in a garage doing that kind of silly stuff? The idea is mad. But many people apply similar logic to Christianity. They think that if they go to church and make Christian noises and read the manufacturer's handbook, that means they are the real deal. I'm in church, therefore I'm in Christ. So let me encourage you, any who haven't yet put yourself in Christ, to do so deliberately, consciously, personally. Lean the weight of your life upon Him. Grasp His hand as the strength of your life. Make His death on the cross a death for your sin. See His empty tomb as your hope for the future. Believe on Him intellectually, morally, and emotionally. Get connected, for it's a great position to be in. And it's a position that brings us, secondly, into a unity which we share. A unity which we share. I love the realism of that phrase. We who are many form one body. You see, there is an acceptance there of the fact that in any church, there'll be more than one person making it up. It doesn't matter whether that's 10 or 10,000 people. Size, listen to me, size is not the issue in being a connected or disconnected church. Although, we must grant that there are particular challenges which larger churches must respond to in order for them to be meaningfully wired up. We, Highfields, are numerically many. Fact. It's a relative fact. As you know, a few years ago, I was in Seoul, in Korea, and preached to a church of, what, 250,000 people. Now that's many. So we are relatively few. But we are many in a whole variety of ways. We are many different cultures. Praise God for that. Wouldn't it be terrible to be in a church where everyone was Welsh? Now, I know some people think that would be heaven, but I beg to differ. And I say that as a proud Welshman, in just the same way that I think it would be terrible to be in a church where everybody was English. I better get that in straight away. No, we are many different cultures and many different ages. Again, wouldn't it be dreadful to be in a congregation where everybody was the same age, or dressed the same way, or liked the same music, or laughed at the same jokes? There's a diversity in the body of Christ at Highfields which is rich and profoundly Christian. The diversity that Paul actually describes here is of a church where there were Jewish and Gentile Christians in the body. In fact, several theologians, several commentators believe that the church in Rome by this stage had grown to become a cluster of at least 13 house churches meeting all over the great metropolitan district of Rome. And they are specifically addressed in the final chapter, chapter 16, as Paul sends his greetings to each of these 13 cluster groups. One of the major reasons why Paul writes this letter in the first place is to deal with the unhelpful fragmentation between those two major ethnic groups which had developed along racial and social lines. Among Jewish and Gentile believers, such ethnic arrogance, such national pride, such disunity needed sorting out. That's why he writes the letter. That's why the apostle spends, remember, two whole chapters, 9, 10, and 11, that's three chapters, showing how God has worked in history to bring Jew and Gentile together in Christ. A fairly major chunk of this epistle is devoted to explaining how Jew and Gentile belong together in the same family tree. And that's why he goes on to say in chapter 15, two pages on from where we are now, there in verse 6 and 7, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as is written. So while rejoicing in their diversity, the apostle makes it very clear that they are one body still. Now, for sure, a church of any size has to work at that. I don't think it comes easily to human nature, even to human nature where God, by his grace, is changing our attitudes to other people. Therefore, let me say to you, when during this coming year you might feel a little bit detached from other folks in Highfields, wondering if this church business is really, really worth it, we just need at those moments to keep reminding ourselves that in Christ we are one. And that profound truth runs, of course, right through the New Testament, loud and clear. And we hear it perhaps best of all in Paul's words to the church in Galatia, chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither, famous words these, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There's equality among us all and dignity for us all. Salvation is on the same basis, whoever we are, by faith alone, in Christ alone, through grace alone. And what Paul does in our motto text is take that theological truth and reflect on it biologically as one body. He begins the metaphor of verse 5, just the verse before, in verse 4. Look at verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. Now, you don't need to be a medical doctor to get the drift of what the apostle's driving at. The many members are the various parts of the amazing human body. I found a member of Highfields on the World Wide Web, and we've got his image now to show you. Here's a member of Highfields. Look, it's Highfields Harry. I think it's a... How do you know if it's a man or a woman? I never know these things. But anyway, there is the body. This remarkable human body. 206 bones, 100 trillion cells, although they argue a little bit about how many cells, but 100 trillion cells. In one day, your blood will travel 12,000 miles. Did you realize that? Your heart will beat 35 million times in 2007. At least I hope it will. It's a remarkable thing, the human body. Did you know that just to get you standing up later to sing our closing hymn, 300 muscles in your body will need to work together? Now, if that much effort is needed to get us to stand up, think how much cooperation is needed in the body to get you to move downstairs to have a cup of tea or coffee and then to go home. Ditto the church. It is going to take every single bit of the body here at Highfields to get us to stand up and move out. As an old rowing friend of mine used to say about the Blues 8 he trained and competed with, if I'm pulling the boat, there's less chance of me rocking it. My friends, do you want to get connected to Highfields? Then jump in the boat and start pulling. Back to that picture of the church as a body. It means, does it not, therefore, that you could perhaps be a metatarsal or a part of the nervous system. You may be an element of the cerebral cortex of Highfields. You could be an aspect of those chambers that pump the blood around the body. I don't know exactly where you are in the body of Highfields, but what I do know is that if you're in Christ, then you're in the body somewhere. As a toe or as a fingernail or whatever. You are connected theologically if you're in Christ. Therefore, you are connected biologically. We do, though, need to be connected emotionally and practically. Because here's the thing. You can't ever become all that God intends for you to be as a Christian unless you are actively involved in the body. Here's the other thing. We can't be all that God wants us to become as a church unless each of us is wired up, plugged in, and functioning somewhere, playing our part. Like every other church, Highfields has a unique thumbprint. We have been designed by God a certain way, gifted by God, and shaped for a role which is ours strategically, and which only Highfields can play within the wider body of Christ. And the DNA of the local church is the combined result, you see, of all the individuals who belong to it. So if the body is going to work properly, then every part of it is needed. Because every part has a unique contribution to make. Which, of course, is what verse 4 is saying. But Paul's particular angle at the end of verse 5 is interesting. Each member belongs to all the others. And this brings me to my third and final point. This is not just a position we enjoy or a unity which we share. It is, thirdly, a responsibility which we assume. In Christ, we who are many form one body, listen, and each member belongs to all the others. It's not just that we're stuck with each other. As believers in Christ and members of the body here, we belong to each other. Somehow, and in a way which can be hard for us to accept in our contemporary culture, we are meant to feel a sense of responsibility for each other. I mentioned earlier that one of the obstacles to being a connected church is the perception of size. Well, here's another obstacle, and I think this is a much more significant hurdle. It's the culture of individualism. You see, in many ways, we can end up, if we're not careful, treating the Christian life and the church rather like a commodity we're looking to buy in a shop. What's in this church for me? What am I going to get out of my involvement? How much is all this going to cost me in terms of time and effort and energy? What needs will belonging to Highfields meet in my life? Now, do you see that the subtle starting point in all that? Well, not so subtle, is it? It's my life. It's my choices. It's my freedom. My rights. Now, that's the way the culture thinks and operates. It's the culture of individualism. But that's not the Bible's way. Last term, the church staff studied a book together called God's New Community. It was so helpful that I've asked Giles and the book team to get lots and lots of copies, because this year we're going to make God's New Community our book of the year. I think we've got 100 copies available for you today. Probably knowing Del Boy Catamol at a knockdown price. I want to encourage you to get this book, to buy it. It's only 130 odd pages, but I want everyone to read this book and reflect on it. And in one of the chapters, the author uses the phrase liquid love. It's not his phrase, it's somebody else's, in fact. But liquid love describes a superficial view of relationships that too often characterizes the church as well as society. We recognize, don't we, that we want and need relationships in our lives, but we're not sure about the commitment that comes with them. We certainly don't want to be trapped or caught up in other people's problems. That's far too restricting for our freedom. We want community, a sense of connection, but we want to be able to keep our distance, to safeguard our space. We want liquid love, you see. We want our love to be able to flow where we choose. Oh, we're okay with ties to other people, but we don't want those ties to be too tight. We want to be able to unravel them, unpick them at any moment we choose. Now, do you see how far this concept of liquid love and commitment phobia is from the spirit of the New Testament? Just move your eyes three verses up Romans 12 to verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You see, that is New Testament Christianity. Offering your bodies as living sacrifices, not liquid love. Christians are not just to be a little bit involved with people, but committed. You know what the difference between involvement and commitment is, don't you? It's the difference between eggs and bacon. With eggs, the chicken is only a little bit involved. But with bacon, well, the pig is fully committed. And I wonder whether you are a chicken or a pig in Highfields in 2007. Are you involved just a little bit? Or are you offering your body as a living sacrifice? Are you committed? You see, part of that Christian commitment is an acceptance of my responsibilities towards others, rather than the assumption of my rights over others. It is a radically countercultural way to live, but it's the Jesus way. So let me give you those spiritual New Year resolutions I promised, which, if we could make them our own, would, I think, create a more connected church. There are three of them. I'm a preacher. There are three of them. I will use my gifts in 2007. Use your gifts. This seems to me to be Paul's immediate application from verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And then he goes on to describe those gifts. There are speaking, serving, leading, teaching, and mercy gifts, interestingly. Notice the source of those gifts? From God, given to each of us by God's grace. Therefore, we're not to boast about our spiritual gifts on the one hand, or envy those of others on the other. There should be no sense of superiority or inferiority. For Paul, a healthy, connected church encourages people to get on with it. You see how he says it here? If someone's gift is cheap teaching, let him get on with it. If it's encouraging, let him get on with it. If it's showing mercy, let him get on with it. If it's leading, then let him get on with it. Now, of course, chaos will follow if there is a free-for-all in which, without any sense of coordination or evaluation, people just did their own thing. We do need systems in place in Highfields to help us identify our gifts,
to target the actual needs there are amongst us, and then to link the two together, connect them up. But so often, I find, we can paralyze the body life of the local church by imposing bureaucratic ladders that people have to climb and hoops that people have to jump through. Paul says, if your gift is serving, then get on with it, serve. If God has blessed you with those gifts, then don't wait to be asked. Volunteer. Get stuck in. Use that gift to bless others. I want to say to you very sincerely, we need you here. We want your contribution. So, make this year a year of using my gift. Secondly, I will belong to a group. This, for me, has to be the key to the future health of our life in Christ as a fellowship. If we're going to be really connected, finding the experience of Highfields positive, we do need a greater proportion of us to belong to one or other of our small groups. Because it's there, in the small group context, that we're likely to find the level of friendship that's meaningful and not superficial. And it's by getting involved in a ministry, I don't know, like music or stewarding or welcoming at the door or Sunday school or schools or sports or student hospitality or internationals, whatever. It's by getting involved in a ministry that we will have opportunity to use and develop our gifts. And boy, oh boy, we are so fortunate here at Highfields. As you may have realized, there are groups for every stage, every age, every day and time of the week. There are ministries for all kinds of people with interests far and wide. Just take your quarterly program away with you today and read through the various things that we are involved in and that you might want to become part of. The ladies and men's Bible study, Tiddlywinks, 3 C's, Morning Out, The Edge, go on and on. It is not, you see, for lack of opportunity. Now, if the sheer range and scale of that small group program overwhelms you, it's too much for you to absorb, then please ask at the information desk on a Sunday. Ring the church office. Talk to one of the elders or staff. We'd be delighted to help you find your place in the body here. And whatever you do, don't stand on the touchline if you really like to get your kit on and play. There's plenty of room in the team. Plenty of room. Thirdly, build relationships. I will build relationships. It is a myth that you must know everyone or everything that's going on at Highfields in order to feel emotionally connected. But as I said at the outset, we do need to make connections with some people. And this can take time, can't it? It doesn't happen overnight or without an investment on the part of two sides. Apparently, it takes a Chinese bamboo tree 5 years before there's any evidence of growth above the ground. You can plant a Chinese bamboo tree, you can water it, you can fertilize it, and all the action for 5 years is below stairs, is underground, is unseen. Then, right about 5 years, bang! The thing starts to grow at a phenomenal rate, and some of them can reach 90 feet very quickly. Now, I'm not saying that it takes 5 years to build meaningful relationships in church. At least I hope it doesn't take that long. But significant relationships, those with depth, those with roots, do take time and effort as we share our lives with others, as we commit to pray with and for others, as we get close enough to care and love and support. You see, the Christian life is not a solo act, but a connected life to God through faith in Christ, expressed in a community where we are connected to each other in sacrificial service, and where we reach out to the world around us, our neighbors, our colleagues, and our friends, so that they too might connect to the love and truth of God. My dear friends, 2007, in the year of Highfields, life together. Let's make this a truly special year as God's Spirit brings us into the experience of being an authentic church community, a living, dynamic, growing body. May God bless us in our life together. And we'll sing that closing hymn using 300 muscles to stand up to do so. It's the hymn from Timothy Dudley.